On the line with me is Connor Casey, labor archivist of the Labor Archives of the University of Washington Libraries and co-chair of the upcoming Pacific Northwest Labor History Association's 50th anniversary meeting next week, April 6th through 8th, at the Hilton Seattle Airport and Conference Center in SeaTac, Washington. Connor, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. So tell us something about the Pacific Northwest Labor History Association.
Well, I think we're really lucky in the Northwest in that we have a labor history association that was intentionally formed as sort of an amalgamation between academic historians and labor union activists and people who are interested in labor history. So it's sort of an interesting hybrid organization in that there's both academic foci, but also an inclusion of the people that are already doing labor history, which are, you know, folks that are in the labor movement, rank and file unionists, people on union history committees, as well as students and people that are teaching like K through 12.
And it's so great at these meetings to see how union activists and other activists really embrace history as a tool for improving their activism and organizing. And Norm Diamond, who's a member of the Pacific Northwest Labor History Association, has been on our show, the Old Mole Variety Hour, a number of times, talking about some of his projects in educating union activists. So what are some of the sessions and speakers? I'm thinking on Saturday, April 7th, for Northwest Oregonians and Southwest Washington folks who might be able to get up to SeaTac for this event. What are some of the highlights, including some of the featured speakers?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, I have a pretty good memory of this because I've been putting together the program, so I appreciate the question. There's going to be one session that's specifically on tracing a thread between African-American activism and the Black Freedom Movement from Tyree Scott, who was an organizer with the United Construction Workers around here in Seattle, all the way through Black Lives Matter by former Black Panther and City of Seattle leader Gary Owens. There'll also be these really great plenary addresses. One is by Bill Fletcher Jr., who's a civil rights activist and labor activist. He really, looks at sort of some of the challenges and the ways in which the labor movement can improve in relation to race, as well as what we do, you know, now that the labor movement has been sort of challenged within the last 30 or 40 years, especially as we're facing down the potential Janus ruling.
And Bill Fletcher was just recently in Portland, but I think it was an icy evening, so many folks may not have been able to hear him. So this is a great opportunity for people in Portland to get up to SeaTac to hear Bill Fletcher.
Rousing speaker, and he's actually part of an existing initiative by the Washington State Labor Council, sort of a race and equity initiative that I believe Kent Wong is involved with too, and it's sort of trainings that are meant for people in the labor movement relating to race, and that's another keynote, which is Kent Wong, who is the director of the UCLA Labor Center, and has been involved in a lot of, you know, LA has not been traditionally known as a labor town, but within the last 20 years, 20 or 30 years, that narrative has been completely inverted because of the union movement's willingness to involve younger leaders, workers of color, and immigrant communities in a way that has completely shifted some of the power structures in Los Angeles. And it sort of points the way to building a strong labor town that incorporates instead of leaves out immigrant communities. You know, some of the other ones that we have are really interesting. Yeah, as you know, folks in Oregon, Southwest Oregon, are probably familiar with the Longshore Union, the ILWU, which has impacts on the labor history and the culture up and down the Pacific Coast. There's going to be this really interesting session by ILWU Local 500 sister Jolene Parent, who's going to be talking about indigenous workers on the waterfront up in the Vancouver area. There'll also be a discussion of a collection that is at University of Oregon about the quote-unquote missing ILWU archives, the ones that were taken away when Harry Bridges kind of created his West Coast insurgency by the existing ILA leadership. So that should be kind of interesting. There's going to be a workshop by an artist about the 99 WTO protests and the illustrations that he did for that. And then, of course, as you mentioned, that great Norm Diamond one, which is how do you teach labor history to people that already are labor organizers, right? It's a different project than people who don't know anything about labor history. So he's doing, as you know, this great web series or televised recorded series of trainings for labor leaders, and they're going to broadcast it through Jobs with Justice as an ongoing training resource.
It all sounds great, Connor. So tell folks how they can find out more information about this conference coming up next week, April 6th through the 8th.
Oh, sure. I'd invite them to check out our website, www.pnlha.org, for Pacific Northwest Labor History Association. We have a sort of proto program there. Soon I'll be adding the full program, the completed one, to the website. And, you know, you can register there and also find out more information online there.
And let's just quickly talk about the labor archives at UW. You've been involved in collecting Washington State labor history for some years. Why is this collecting and preservation of labor's past important, not just for scholars, but for activists today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's sort of that that quote about, you know, those who, you know, forget history or condemned to repeat it. But I think that the other thing that's great about it is that we're actually a resource that unions can use, and that we collect their records so that they can gain access to the things that they need for their active administrative business. So it may be that they give us their records of what we call enduring historic value, the stuff that they're not using every day, but they know is important. And that's the kind of stuff we collect. We were formed in 2010 by the labor community. For the first 3 or 4 years, we were completely crowdfunded by the labor movement until we got state funding. And we're really here both as a resource for the academics and students to be able to get access to these records so that they can do research. But we're also here to help collect, preserve, and make accessible labor union records for the labor movement. And so we also do consultations and workshops on records management and what to expect when they donate collections. That's kind of the value that we add to it, and I think that control and access, as anybody who's been in a union office who has the task of trying to figure out, well, geez, where was that contract, or, you know, what were we saying in those negotiations, or is there correspondence from that president? There's a archivist I worked with down in San Francisco State's Labor Archives that told me 3 moves equals 1 fire in labor archives, and that's the crisis that we faced in 2008 that gave rise to the formation of the labor archives in 2010 was that, as everyone knows, where you put archives is usually the boiler room or the attic.
Yes.
The worst places that you can put them.
And you've been involved in some great collecting activities, too, such as the SeaTac Seattle Minimum Wage History Project and all of these projects that really help us understand what strategies and tactics work and what might not work so well as we move these movements forward. Thanks so much for joining us, Connor Casey, and we encourage people to check out the program for the Pacific Northwest Labor History Association's 50th anniversary meeting next week.